Over the past two Sundays, we've been considering this same reading of God's law, these same 17 sins that Paul calls the works of the flesh. And we noted that this is not a complete list of the works of the flesh, but a representative list. There are other sins that are like these, Paul writes in verse 21, that and those other sins must also be considered works of the flesh as well. And we also noted that when we assess the nature of these 17 sins, they can be classified into three general categories. There are sins of immorality, which are the sexual sins. There are sins of hostility, where the sinner expresses his anger and aggression against God or his fellow man. And there are sins of idolatry, which is the focus, our focus this morning. We see three of them listed here. Idolatry is the worship of something other than God. In its narrow definition, idolatry is worshiping a physical object or image. We see a lot of this in the scriptures. An idol of a deity is carved out of wood or chiseled out of stone or fashioned out of gold, and people bow down and worship that physical idol. Or perhaps an idol is a picture, a mural, or some kind of an image painted onto a wall, and people bow down and worship that picture. This narrow definition of idolatry is what Paul is referring to as a work of the flesh in verse 20, when he writes idolatry, when he lists idolatry as one of the 17 sins. But there's an expanded definition of idolatry as well. The expanded definition includes the elevation of anything above or in the place of God. It's the elevation of anything that takes the place of God. So sorcery is a form of idolatry, not necessarily because it involves the worship of physical idols, but because it elevates the power and sovereignty of created things above the power and sovereignty of God. In other words, sorcery is an attempt to harness supernatural power or knowledge outside of the authority and will of God. It involves calling upon spirits or casting spells or participating in some other form of occult practice rather than trusting God's power, trusting God's providence, trusting God's revelation, trusting God's guidance. And this act of seeking power or knowledge apart from God is idolatry in the expanded definition of the word, because it's an attempt to replace the Creator with that which He has created. It's giving one's trust, loyalty, and devotion to some created entity, whether real or imagined, rather than giving one's trust, loyalty, and devotion to God. And the third work of the flesh that falls into the category of sins of idolatry is drunkenness. Now, once again, we're recognizing the expanded definition of idolatry here. Idolatry is any behavior, practice, or devotion that places something other than God at the center of one's life. Or, to put it in slightly different words, it's allowing anything other than God to have control of your life, to be your master. Drunkenness meets this expanded definition in two ways. The first is when we consider drunkenness as an addiction. The person who has a drinking problem, which is just a euphemism for describing the person who's under the control and dominion of intoxicating substances, that person is serving a master other than the triune God. That's idolatry. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. So the person who's under the control and dominion of alcohol has given his love and loyalty to alcohol instead of God. But what about the person who doesn't have a drinking problem, so to speak? What about the person who's not addicted to alcohol, but periodically gets drunk. Every now and then, he or she goes to a party and drinks too much. You might say that this is not idolatry because this person is not regularly and repetitively under the control and influence of alcohol. You might say that alcohol doesn't have dominion over this person. It just happens that every now and then they get drunk. But let's think about that for a second. Would you say that it's not idolatry to bow down to a golden calf every now and then? Would you say that it's not idolatry so long as you're not regularly and repetitively worshiping the golden calf, just every now and then? Of course that would be idolatry. Idolatry can be a habitual sin, or it could be an occasional sin. Therefore, the frequency of the sin is not a determining factor in whether the sin is present in one's life or not. And here's another consideration. For the person who occasionally drinks too much, there might be other more subtle idols of the heart that are contributing to that behavior. It may be the idol of pleasure that is producing this type of behavior. Or it may be the idol of popularity and acceptance among one's peers, wanting to fit in the crowd, wanting to be the guy who doesn't stand apart. The contemplative Christian will consider these things because sins are like cockroaches. When you see one, you can be sure that there are others hiding in the crevices of your home, right? So where you see the sin of drunkenness, you can be sure that there are other sins hiding in the dark crevices of your life. And those other sins may very well be controlling sins, which is to say, there may be idols hiding in your heart that you have given your love and loyalty to, and you really aren't even fully aware of that. And let me remind you one more time, brothers and sisters, that this list of works of the flesh this particular work of the flesh, the one of drunkenness, is not limited to drunkenness. It includes sins that are like it, according to Paul. And so this includes recreational drugs and other forms of hallucination or intoxication. In the same way, we would not and should not limit the scope of our introspection only to sorcery. Somebody might try to make the argument that Paul speaks only of sorcery and he doesn't say anything about divination or necromancy or fortune-telling or Ouija boards. So those things are not necessarily works of the flesh, whereas sorcery is. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's not true because this is a representative list of the works of the flesh. It's intended to include those sins that we are supposed to include those sins that are like these as well. So all forms of witchcraft and the occult are works of the flesh. All forms of magic and divination are works of the flesh. And the warning the apostle is giving us in this passage is a sobering one, dear friends. He's telling us that those who practice idolatry, either in its narrow or expanded definitions, will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the warning. Those who practice idolatry in its expanded or narrow definition will not inherit the kingdom of God. Only those who confess their idolatry and forsake their idolatry will inherit the kingdom of God. And so ask the Lord to reveal your idols to you. Ask him to show you where you have elevated something above him or put something in place of him. Ask him to expose anything that's controlling you, those things which you have given your love and devotion to. And then when he reveals these things to you, destroy those idols. Tear down the altars and high places that you have sinfully erected in your heart and your life and return to the true and unadulterated worship of our triune God. Because God is gracious. He not only hears our petitions, he not only answers our petitions, but he is a compassionate God to forgive us when we repent. And so, brothers and sisters, let us begin such repentance with acknowledging our sins and bringing them to the cross of Jesus Christ, where we have forgiveness, and we do that through confession.